This is Audible.
HarperCollins presents Love Parisienne, The French Woman's Guide to Love and Passion by Florence Besson, Eva Amour, and Claire Steinlin. Read by Helen Keeley. Why, oh why do I love Paris? Because my love is near. Cole Porter, as sung by Ella Fitzgerald. Preface. Once upon a time, fortune tellers would haunt the trains of the Paris metro, promising eternal love, good fortune, and a driver's license. Alas, we cannot promise eternal love, but still we are ambitious. We are Parisian women, after all. And what we adore is romance. Love that starts in springtime in Paris. Love that brings a racing heart and shining eyes with no thought of tomorrow. We want to celebrate joy in these pages. Joy in living, in making love, in being in a couple. You will not find any exact formulas here. Just common sense, real advice, tested and approved by scores of Parisian women. Les Parisiennes. Our book is divided into three parts. Having fun, fleeting pleasures, meeting, encore, encore, still together, and experiencing long-lasting love, years of happiness. And it contains dozens of tips, time-tested advice, and re-examined clichés, plus addresses and lists to make your love affairs into a celebration with Paris as a backdrop. The sidebars, sprinkled throughout, Parisian tips, and Les secrets d'un Parisien, provide inspiration for how to love like a Parisian woman, from places to kiss, to where to go, for an impulsive romantic getaway. Whether you know Paris already, or just have dreams of visiting it, let this book be your guide to romance. Poor are the larks that make love only in the spring, said the 17th century French freethinker Ninon de L'Enclos. Not so for the Parisienne. For her, there are no taboos and no morality. For La Parisienne, life is an adventure she lives to the fullest, freely, without ever missing a beat, and with, among others, gorgeous Parisian men as partners in the game. Her elegance is her imagination. Her courtesy is her lightness of spirit. Her style comes from the fact that she is all women rolled into one, daring to embody every role, from Marie Antoinette to Brigitte Bardot, ever ready for the next wild experience. All of Paris and all Parisians know how to love, from the classic films A Bout de Souffle to Last Tango in Paris. The city is a backdrop to amour. Every paving stone bears the memory of a racing pulse. Every street is filled with memories of real or imagined affairs of the heart, a fling or a passion. And every bridge is a bridge of poet's sighs. In Paris, wrote Baudelaire, it is always time to get drunk, for wine, for poetry, for virtue, and also for freedom and for kisses. We love everything in Paris, even our bad moods, even our indifference, even, and this is a problem, our broken hearts. Suffering has its place in deepening our souls, but we believe in more joy. Our fervent hope is that this book will give you all you need to see La Vie en Rose. Florence Besson. Part 1. Fleeting Pleasures. A fleeting pleasure is an evening on the banks of the Seine, with a handsome Italian who whispers sweet nothings into your ear, or three scorching summer days with a colleague on top of office photocopiers that have never seen anything like it, or a mad hour with an ex-partner in the middle of the afternoon, or a week with a man, as yet unknown, who makes your heart race and the hope that it will go on and on and on. When you're single in Paris, life becomes a blank page of possibilities, with adventure just around every corner, eroticism for a day or a night, a brief romance, a love story waiting to happen. But whatever the new experience, the important thing is that it makes you happy, and that you immerse yourself in it as fully as Louis XV's famous mistress, Madame de Pompadour, being romantic, but street smart, free and playful, headstrong and independent. In short, the way Parisians drive, Insanely, perhaps, but with lots of style. So how can you enjoy this very particular method of loving à la Parisienne? Whether it's getting a stranger into your bed, sharing a first dinner, savoring the first successful night, or taking, or not taking, a call. These are the questions. Take a seat at a terrace cafe, order a glass of Chablis or an apricot juice, and dip into this section as you would relish the beginnings of a love story. Life is beautiful, and you are too. To love or not to love? When it comes to love, you sometimes feel as if you just don't know what you're doing. You may feel that finding a guy, if only a decent one, is a bit like making slow-cooked lamb, too complicated. You find yourself wandering the streets, feeling envy for the lovers kissing on benches while you hum a sad love song about heartbreak and loneliness. And yet, you dream of love, real love, true love, and of a hot guy. So here is the first rule of love. Listen to yourself. Ask yourself what you really want. Sometimes you just want to have fun, and that's absolutely fine. Enjoy yourself without guilt. Paris is also made for that. And if you are dreaming of real love, be careful. You need to be wise with your time and energy. So don't be under any illusions about him or about yourself. If what you like is bars packed with budding artists, don't waste your time with futile fantasies about socialites at a 5-star Plaza Athénée hotel. Golden rule. Know yourself. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Dare to be who you are, with your contradictions, your craziness, and your strange tastes. Look at your friends who are in relationships. Sometimes their choice of partner makes no sense to you. So forget the perfect man. What matters is your happiness. Parisian tip, the Jean-Paul Sartre. Yes, we're in Paris. So let's begin with a little philosophy. Sartre said something that is really pretty wise. Existence precedes essence. Very, very roughly, that means look at yourself. Observe what gives you pleasure. Go where you feel happy, and you will know who you are and who you like. If that shocks people, blame Jean-Paul. I've forgotten how to hit on someone. Never mind. Best not to throw out pickup lines like, "Do you know how beautiful your eyes are?" to every passerby. Yes, take all the advice you can get about leaving your comfort zone and your neighborhood or arrondissement. To parrot Georges Danton's famous words during the French Revolution, we must dare and dare again and go on daring. But don't lose your head. Techniques for hitting on someone, for both men and women, will get you nowhere. It is still better for you to wait to be approached. Men are primitive, indeed, and so much the better. So are you. We are nothing more than two animals on a small planet. Two Homo pseudo erectus, impatient to rediscover fire. Let him play the caveman, or let him believe he approached you, when in fact, it was you who maneuvered it all. Golden rule. No frontal attacks. A few pointed looks, a laugh, a gesture replacing a stray lock of hair. That's all. You may be an independent, free woman, but for once you let someone else make the first move and you play the game. That's the fundamental rule. Parisian tip. Notre Dame from behind. Have you ever admired Notre Dame from behind? Stand on the Arcevecchia Bridge and get lost in admiration. Those vaults rising up above the lime trees and horse chestnuts. Those pointed arches. Those aisles. Those flanges. Those columns. Those towering abutments. Those spires. Take inspiration from the immortal lady by turning your back on the guy and letting yourself be admired from behind. All the better to turn round again. Where do you find him? Find your pleasures wherever you're happy, anywhere that gives you a kick. You just want an exotic night to file away in your memories? Then live out your digressions with a handsome tourist at the top of the Eiffel Tower. a PhD student on the paths of the Luxembourg Gardens, or even an actor on the sofa of a flashy club on the Champs-Élysées. And finding the right one? Or rather, one of the right ones, because we hate the idea that there is only one Le Bouton that fits your foot. He may even be right under your nose. At the bus stop, at a luxury department store, or as you moan, there aren't any taxis outside the nightclub one evening. A real meeting is shared by three. You, him, and a social place that you both enjoy. Without sharing a sense of place, it won't last. Which is not to say you can't find fleeting pleasures in a strange place. In short, open your eyes. The elusive specimen is often closer than you think. Golden rule. Be sexy everywhere. In the bistro or the movies, at the grocery store or the airport. Always cool and always prepared. That is the secret of Parisian style. So no Uggs or sequin tops. You need to adopt a quietly seductive style. A look that works as much for going out to pick up some bread as for ascending to seventh heaven. Coco Chanel always used to say to her seamstresses, "Never leave the house without looking perfect, my dear. It might be the day you find love." Know his habitat. In France, we say, "Impossible n'est pas français." In other words, impossible is not a Parisian mindset. But we do use common sense. You don't look for a hipster near the swanky Muette metro station or a banker at the flea market. Here's a little map of Paris arrondissements to inspire you to look for your type in the right neighborhood, so you don't have to wander around for too long. First arrondissement. A communications king. An elderly lawyer. A celebrity. Second arrondissement. A realtor who's a bit of a womanizer, but who dreams of marrying and having lots of kids. A DJ who at the moment is mainly a sales clerk at the fashionable men's clothing store AMI. A fashion photographer. Third arrondissement. A journalist who'd really like to shack up with someone, but who isn't really sure. An American staying in an Airbnb. Fourth arrondissement. A bisexual interior decorator. A left-wing politician disguising his wealth. A rather famous sports coach. Fifth arrondissement. A divorced literature professor who takes his children to the Jardin des Plantes and is a bit of a dinosaur. Someone in cinema. A house-sharing student. Sixth arrondissement. A writer who likes to look at himself in the mirrors of the Café des Flores. A publisher who loves literature. A young civil servant who's already bald. Seventh arrondissement. A business lawyer, perhaps married, at least to his smartphone. An Italian collector. A newly rich journalist. Eighth arrondissement. An elderly producer who's a reluctant clubber and loves women, but already has lots of children. A gigolo. A guy who started a business. It's not clear in what, but is doing well. Ninth arrondissement. A young restaurateur just arrived from the Basque country with a very high profile and who is handsome, free, full of pep and all the rage. A trendsetter who's in a relationship, depending on the time of day. A pianist. Tenth arrondissement. A political activist, passionate about his cause and about anything that moves. A sociologist who drives you crazy going on about Pierre Bourdieu. 11th arrondissement. A student who needs a grant and lots of sex. A single dad who talks about the stock exchange and sex. A previous candidate on the cooking program Top Chef. 12th arrondissement. A nice dentist. A jazz musician. A retiree who likes to watch the swans in the public park. 13th arrondissement. A nice, single hypnotherapist, great for finally giving up smoking. A medical intern at the Val de Grasse Hospital. A composer who has a home in the trendy Boutoukai neighborhood, paid for in cash after his big hit. 14th arrondissement. A bartender, free during the day. A geek. 15th arrondissement. A climbing instructor, recently descended from the Alps and in search of a woman. An office colleague, your cousin and the men who vaguely resemble him. 16th arrondissement. A family man who is not so faithful, a former party animal, an aristocrat who lives with his mother. 17th arrondissement. An ambitious young guy in finance, divorced with a child, as risky as a hedge fund. A bourgeois who thinks he is a bourgeois bohemian because he lives in the fashionable Batignolles neighborhood. 18th arrondissement. A successful actor. To test for an evening if you have the heart to climb up to Montmartre. An artistic director whose apartment is really very nice. An advertising man who is 50-something and looks it. 19th arrondissement. A failed actor needing to be pampered. A construction worker. A crazy Argentinian who's crazy about you. 20th arrondissement. A ceramics artist who is funny and gifted with his hands. A deacon who works at a Catholic charity. An ultra-heady multimedia artist. Dressing for the first date. You're already an hour late and you've got nothing to wear? Of course you have. Just go for the light touch. A suggestion rather than statement. Sexy without saying so. Nothing predictable. Simple lines, a sleeveless t-shirt with bare shoulders, a white shirt giving a glimpse of black bra. Underneath, aim for your target. Jeans for the hipster and a skirt for the business lawyer. Heels for the man in finance and flats for the up-and-coming artist. Take note, heels with a miniskirt are a definite no. Too exotic dancer with an excessive libido. But obligatory if he is over 42. Unless he is as short as France's recent presidents. The heels should never be too high. The aim is to seduce, not put yourself on display. Golden rule. Reveal only a little. Consider François Truffaut's film, The Man Who Loved Women, about a man who was capable of fantasizing for hours about a piece of calf glimpsed in the street. Think of Romy Schneider, before she dives into the water in the film The Swimming Pool, and of her dresses revealing just a shoulder or a bare back. You don't need to display your cleavage or underwear. You can have a sensible blouse with just the top buttons undone. You don't have to dress like a dancer at the Crazy Horse Cabaret to drive him crazy. The men like femme fatales cliché. Yes, sometimes men do like women dressed as femme fatales. But what really seduces them is femininity. No need to arm yourself with a military arsenal of costume effects, heels plus skirt plus plunging neckline, which, when all is said and done, is very aggressive and even disturbing. Put the emphasis on simplicity. Men like outfits they can understand. A skirt that gives a glimpse of leg, soon to be stretched out in bed with him. Or subtle cleavage that hints at the sacred treasure that lies beneath. Parisienne style is obvious chic and sobriety. Stay low-key. Quick! I need an outfit for tonight! Where a Parisienne goes for a last-minute ensemble. Addresses. Le Bon Marché, housed in the famous building with four pointed corners and with lots of relatively affordable smaller labels. Recent favourites, Belle Rose, Gare Raymond. 24, Rue de Sèvres, 75007, Paris. And if you still haven't found what you're looking for, dash across the street to Brand Bazaar, a left bank label melting pot. Two levels bringing together big label clothes, Carvan, and young designers, Sœur, Rico, Montmoni. 33, Rue de Sèvres, 75007, Paris. West of the capital, Les 66 Élysées, on the Champs-Élysées, offers a carefully chosen but broad selection with majestic fluid t-shirts, romantic dresses by Mesdemoiselles, and auspiciously named Catch Me Maybe clutch purses. Centre Commercial. A bourgeois bohemian concept store, decorated in white, wood and antique furniture for chic shopping. Look for Rosanna slips, para boots, La Rose hats, striped ponchos designed by L'Américaine, or adorable sailing dresses from Saint James. 2, Rue de Marseille, 75010, Paris. Telephone 01420226. And of course, there's always Zara or the H&M chic labels and other stories and COS, all places where you can find something fun and sexy without overdoing it. For the eco-minded, if you want to recycle, conserve the planet, and improve the conditions of textile workers, go to Killywatch, a Parisian haunt for vintage fashion where you can unearth a fur hat, a little leather jacket, or a silk blouse. 64 Rue Tiquetonne, 75002 Paris. Telephone 01-42211737. www.killywatch.fr. Noir Kennedy, a vintage rock boutique and the ideal place to pick up cheap Monday jeans, rock t-shirts, beautiful leather boots, or second-hand clothes. 22 Rue du Roi de Sicile, 75004 Paris. Telephone 01-44613090. On the web, Vestiaire Collective. This website is all the rage. Use it when you want to buy yourself that little Chanel bag your wardrobe is missing, or the classic bag from Celine you really like, for much less than in a shop. You post an alert, and as soon as a fashionista puts one up for sale, you grab the opportunity. Experts guarantee the authenticity of the products. www.vestiairecollective.com. I met him at Le Bain nightclub. Can it work? Of course it can work. But it all depends on how you approach things. You must be cautious. For example, if you met this young man at Le Bain, the legendary Paris club / swimming pool, it means you're both cool. But maybe he wants to have fun. But not just with you. You're there supposedly to splash around with your friends. But deep down, you really wanted to flirt. Go on. Go crazy. But just remember that you can't expect anything more from this guy, who's giving it all he's got on the dance floor, than a wild fling in a swimming pool, an erotic dive, as it were. Anything more, if you like each other, would be icing on the cake. It's not just womanizers who go to nightclubs. You and your best friends are also there, after all. Golden rule. The truth and nothing but the truth. It can't be repeated too often. The most important thing is to be honest with yourself. If you dive into these scorching waters with a stranger, it's because you're dying for him to put his hands on your breasts, and that's all. If you feel in the mood for a quick plunge, free of regret or remorse, go for it. And remember that many people only fantasize about such aquatic evenings. The Freudian cliché. Follow your desire. The ever-intellectual Parisienne calls on the father of psychoanalysis. Listen to yourself. Follow your desire, therapists seem to say. But you have to know what your desire is. Are you certain you want just to have sex with this guy? Or do you think, in an out-and-out bit of maneuvering, that the shortest path to his heart is via his bed? Really listen to yourself. Not to what you desire in the moment, but to your deepest wishes. And don't feel you've got to be either a nun or a porn star. To find his heart, first follow your own. The tricky phone number question. It's the big question. It's crazy how just a few numbers can create an equation with so many unknowns. Yet the answer is simple. Any Parisian well-versed in the art of flirtation knows offering your phone number before you've been asked for it simply is not done. And what if he doesn't request it? If he wants to, he'll find it out. Like you, the man is intelligent. Golden rule. Actually, there are three rules about texting. 1. Reply to his messages, but avoid starting conversations yourself too often, even if you are dying to, because you've already downed 5 of them. Never send an, "I was drinking a spritzer and I thought of you." 2. Try to limit the number of texts you exchange. We are beyond rapid-fire exchanges ending with a, "What are you eating?" Don't impoverish dialogue by thinking you have to go on with the back and forth. 3. If you're over 15, avoid smileys, although with the proviso that you are never too old to go crazy with a unicorn or a little dolphin as proof of your affection. The novelist cliché. Let's be clear. Like every Paris inhabitant, you feel there is a writer in you. That's good. But for pity's sake, don't launch into romantic or mysterious texts along the lines of, you're so special, or I want you so much to, or even if you knew, which leave the reader incapable of a response. Also to be avoided is the relentlessly comic text. It's true that men like women with a sense of humor, but they don't want to be constantly teased. He's my boss. He's as old as my father and even has the same first name. He can't be far from age 60. He's called Jean-Pierre, and he's your boss. Three reasons not to launch into anything with him. And yet you dive under the desk and act out a naughty secretary's fantasy. What are you thinking? To each her own. The problem? First, France is a Latin macho country. People might criticize you, thinking you're trying to sleep your way to the top, not knowing it's you who's on the top. Just to be sure you really are attracted to this 50-something who is going a bit grey, you don't want to be seduced by his high office rather than the man himself. So, because he is the boss, you remain professional. Retain your perspective and your cool. Keep a clear head, and above all, keep your distance. While you might not be scared of taboos, you have principles, and you won't do anything to compromise a job you love, or even just the atmosphere in the office. On the other hand, you play the oldie card all the way. Don't let him accompany you to nightclubs to relive his youth. You're not his Botox. Golden rule. Don't be a nursing aide. An old scoundrel is acceptable, but if he's an old fogey, you should get out of there and refuse any mentor-pupil relationship with an older man who gives advice because he's not capable of doing much else anymore. Vintage sex is okay, but a paternalistic lover with outdated values is not. He's a bit of a loser. He's an actor, but things have not really taken off yet. So, in the meantime, he's playing an uprooted tree in an ultra-contemporary and very obscure theatre. He had been writing a screenplay about his ex-wife for the past 5 years, but it was making him depressed, so he gave it up. He's a waiter, but his thing is music, and he plans to create a group with a friend who's lending him an apartment and money. In short, on the face of it, you would be well advised to head for the hills and keep on running. And yet, isn't it beautiful that this man has the time to take the time? That while you're sick to death of traffic jams or the jam-packed metro with the song La Vie en Rose played non-stop on an accordion, he can stroll around reciting poetic verses. So why deprive yourself? If he isn't too depressed, say goodbye to money and enjoy this guy's genetic jackpot with his well-made body and face. Go ahead. Dive into this adventure. Here's a lover who will run you a bath and then get inside it to welcome you in person, having already perhaps drafted a screenplay or composed a new ballad. In any event, he won't ask if you've sent off the documents for the car insurance. Hello to sleepless nights reciting Baudelaire's poetry, getting drunk, scaling the Sacré-Cœur at night, endless discussions, mussels and French fries at 5 o'clock in the morning at a 24/7 brasserie. And if the gypsy charm starts to evaporate, and the beautiful bird starts to lose a bit of its plumage, or even to take a nosedive and flop to earth, you can let your shooting star whiz past. You'll be exhausted and relieved. Golden rule. Okay, he hasn't got a dime to his name, but that's certainly not a reason to subsidize him. You are neither his mother nor his nurse. If he's really good, he will know that a simple plate of pasta, prepared sweetly and with love, can be a dish fit for a king, that a small paperback can be a great success, and that taking off his old ripped jeans can make you wild with desire. He's a star! You've hung around the upscale nightclubs for so long, you've ended up French kissing a Hollywood star on the dance floor. Bravo! You have now entered the Flirtation Hall of Fame. Welcome, celebrity hunter. Alongside Céline Balletrin, 4 years with George Clooney after he hit on her in a Champs-Élysées bar, François-André Pinault, nearly 10 years with Salma Hayek after Love at First Sight in Venice, and the amazing Micheline Roquebrune, 40 years with Sean Connery, the handsomest James Bond, after encountering him on a golf course in Morocco. But like a good Parisian, you run into stars all the time, at the bakery buying your bread or at your yoga class. So don't be fazed by it, or at least act as if you don't recognize him. Best of all, get him confused with another celeb. It shows that you couldn't care less about his celebrity. Golden rule. Keep a souvenir. Not staged photos. Not a child. A souvenir. A diamond necklace. Mickey Mouse slippers. The star stayed young at heart. Whatever. Something you might want to show your grandchildren one day. Public kisses. Paris's best places to kiss in public. Challenge him to a game of pétanque in the Place Dauphine, a fun, quirky date. Stroll hand in hand through the many Parisian-covered passageways, among the capital's architectural curiosities, most of them close to or even joining each other. Ferraud Duda Vivienne and Colbert Malls. Take in the brasserie in the Colbert Mall, Le Grand Colbert, a listed historical monument that regularly appears on the big screen. The Passage du Grand Cerf, filmed in Louis Malle's Zazie, dans la métro. And the Passage des Panoramas, full of restaurants and charming cafes in the heart of the second arrondissement. Go with him to the Cité Internationale Universitaire, in the 14th arrondissement, opposite the Parc Montsouris. This is a magnificent place, little known by Parisians. Together you can explore the huge garden and the buildings modeled on structures from all over the world with their motley architectural styles. The International House, equipped with a swimming pool and theatre, was funded by John D. Rockefeller Jr. The Swiss and Franco-Brazilian foundations were designed by La Cabossière. If the weather is fine, have a picnic at Versailles or in the Bois de Boulogne, where you can take the opportunity to ride in a boat. Otherwise, have a cuddly nap in the Place de Vosges or in the Palais Royal Gardens, or sip a mint syrup with water on the chairs of the Luxembourg Garden. If it's overcast, take a stroll through the botanical garden Les Serres du Toit, created in 1761 under Louis XV, with its magnificent French-style flower beds. Then, if you're in the mood for reciting poetry, make your way to the neighboring Square des Poètes, with its slabs inscribed with verses from famous poets, for ultra-romantics only. 1 Avenue Gordon Bennett, 75016 Paris, and 3 Avenue de la Porte du Toit. Private kisses. Paris's best places to kiss in private. Most famous. Reserve for your exclusive use one of the private rooms of the La Pérouse restaurant, location of romantic trysts in the 19th century. The courtesans would engrave their names on the mirrors with the diamonds their lovers had just given them, thereby checking whether they were authentic. Kate Moss imitated them by engraving, "It's too late to go to bed," on the bar mirror. 51 Quai de Grand Augustines, 75006. Telephone 0143-266804. www.laperouse.com. Most glamorous? L'Oiseau Blanc is a restaurant situated on the 6th floor of the Peninsula Paris Hotel that gives a panoramic view of the most beautiful Parisian monuments. Few people know, however, that here the perfect lover's table is to be found facing away from the room and toward the Eiffel Tower. You dine as a threesome with the Iron Lady in complete privacy. Even more VIP, the restaurant rooftop, a mini terrace that can accommodate a table beneath the stars. 19 Avenue Kléber, 75116, telephone 01581267 30, www.peninsula.com. Most historic? Le Pharamond, a restaurant in a listed historical monument, was opened in 1832 by Alexandre Pharamond, who delighted Parisians with his baked tripes from Calvados. In the little private rooms that can be hired for two, where former President Françoise Mitterrand and his mistress Anne Pongeot used to go, one can still encounter the ghosts of Clemenceau and Hemingway. 24, Rue de la Grande Truanderie, 75001. Most original? Treat yourself to a ride on a pontoon boat, a small pleasure craft that allows lovers to make a little getaway with a skipper and a bottle of champagne. 34, Quai d'Austerlitz, 75013. Telephone 0650-229065. www.greenriver-paris.fr. Sex on the first date? There are no absolute rules. From 18th century feminist Olympe de Gouges to Simone de Beauvoir, you have plenty of liberated, avant-garde, revolutionary female models to use as inspiration if you feel like saying, I'll do as I please. However, in 90% of cases, no remains the best response. With all due respect, your grandmother's advice on the subject has proved it's worth more than that given by your girlfriends after three glasses of Sancerre. And even in the 21st century, it is proven beyond doubt that making him wait two or three dates is really worth it, if only to make certain you really do find him attractive. Being romantic is a bit like music in films. It makes your heart beat faster. It's not necessarily your sex mad side. Like the Queen of Nell's Tower, that medieval princess who was said to bring lovers up to her tower before throwing them into the Seine. But your desire for a real love affair that will make him want it too. Golden rule. If you've said yes, you always go to his place. You take his condoms, you don't have any hanging around at the bottom of your bag, and you depart in the middle of the night on tiptoe, leaving the memory of your evening together untouched. He wanted to spank me. Nothing is taboo to the Parisienne, but you don't want to begin with an S&M film all the same. You were secretly dreaming of a cafe under the roses of the Museum of Romantic Life, and here you are feeling like you've picked up someone who's escaped from a sex club. It's ugly. If this man doesn't want to wait or make the effort to find out something about you before launching into the story of O, it means he's interested only in a bit of casual sex. Tonight he's with you. And tomorrow? So unless you've been together for 6 months or are crazy about riding crops being misused, get out of there. Men, too, usually prefer less exhausting first evenings. You'll have more than enough time to resort to fantasies when things start to get a little boring. Keep it in reserve. But think about this. When his hand patted your bottom while he uttered some rather daring and dirty words, what did you feel deep down? A little frisson? It's not impossible. It's a curious feeling the first time. But if he did it on the spur of the moment and doesn't seem like a pro out of a video, well, it means he was able to predict your most secret desires, which is a promising sign. Golden rule. Whatever happens, never forget that the first night might be the last. If so, and you're not going to see each other again, then you give everything without a second thought, saying to yourself, merci beaucoup. The Tabitha Cash cliché. Do you feel like you're doing acrobatic rock? That you are in the Olympic Games in the middle of a more or less artistically choreographed skating routine, and that at the end you'll be graded a 5.2? You are victim of the Tabitha Cash cliché, named after the famous French porn heroine. No, doing bizarre contortions won't make you happy, nor will accessories, nor the arrival of a whole grocery store in the bed, from chocolate spread to whipped cream. On the first night, less is more. Find out about each other, sniff each other, play on each other's heartstrings. You've got the rest of your lives to invite friends in. How to undress. He's arrived. He's here, in your home, in your room. Help, I'm overweight, you despair. To overcome, to keep a cool head, you smile as weirdly as Mona Lisa. You remember that pair of jeans you can no longer fit into, that astronomically expensive membership to that gym you never set foot in, and your overwhelming devotion to Choquette pastries. What then? First, does one need to point out that you don't do it in the pallid neon light of the bathroom, but with dimmed lighting instead? Second, remember your teenage years. When you made love semi-dressed, you were in such a hurry. Do the same thing. If you wait until he really can't hold back any longer, rest assured he will not notice any of your minor faults. Third, both before and after making love, choose the most flattering positions and get out of bed naked underneath his shirt, adorned with a sheet and your dignity. Golden rule. Do not run into the bathroom. Take a shower, put makeup on, and exchange your granny panties for the latest La Perla body. Go with the flow. He undresses you and you undress him, unless you're playing strip poker. You also don't fold your clothes and you don't go brush your teeth. Abandon yourself to the moment. And if, the following day, you find your panties on the mantelpiece, fantastic. Parisian tip. The croissant trick. You are at his place, or he is at yours, and you feel like 2 minutes alone? Quick! Send him to buy croissants. You'll have just enough time to brush your teeth in peace, or quickly phone a friend. In the evening, the need adapts to fresh cream, spices, bread, champagne. Paris never sleeps. Send him to the store. Undressing in style. Parisiennes turn to these chic stores for their undergarments. At the High Priestess of Style, Inès de la Fressange, who has opened Left Bank Boutique, a very Rive Gauche concept store in a former foundry, you can treasure hunt for Fifi Chachenil lingerie, bustiers and lace panties. 24 Rue de Grenelle, 75007, Paris. www.inesdelafressange.fr. Demont. This lingerie range, created by Letitia Schlumberger, in somber colors, black, white, dark blue, is still very feminine, with the special feature of magnets hidden under little bows, allowing you to get undressed in the blink of an eye. Divine Parisienne, 19, Rue Guisarde, 75006, Paris. www.lingerie-demont.com. Sabia Rosa. This boudoir boutique, with lingering fragrances, houses marvelous, insanely chic and 100% French creations of embroidered silk. 73 Rue de Saint-Pierre, 75006, Paris. Telephone 01-4548-8837. Cadol. Its founder, Herminie Cadol, embodies the courageous Parisienne. She took part with Louise Michel in the revolutionary events of the Paris Commune, and invented the first brassiere. Perhaps the style you choose will resemble the one she presented to the Universal Exhibition of 1889, the event for which the Eiffel Tower was built. 255 Rue Saint-Honoré, 75001, Paris. Telephone 01-42-603837. www.cadol.fr. Oh dear, he was useless in bed. He's as handsome as a movie star, and he had you reeling with desire when he held you against a streetlight at the corner. But on the living room couch, he is about as irresistible as a soggy baguette. Never mind. Whether there was a series of clumsy fumblings, deathly boredom, an awkward size problem, or a downright breakdown in functioning, don't panic. Instead, you give up momentarily, telling yourself you have lost a battle, but not the war. Be careful, however. If it's really disastrous, and you're not all that attached to this great, clumsy oaf, remember that you're not Mother Teresa. You need to know when to walk on by. There's someone for everyone, and you can leave him to his defeat. Golden rule. Above all, don't be frank. Never. At first, say nothing, and do not grade the mistakes. Rome was not built in a day, nor was the Eiffel Tower erected in a moment. Encourage him. After all, it's flattering. He is overwhelmed, and to him you are a goddess. Take the upper hand. Sex is like wine. It gets better with time.
Parisian tip.
A glass of red wine to loosen your tongues. A glass is enough to remove inhibitions. His, yours. To start whispering sweet nothings.
Yes, that's good. At first, soon followed by yes, harder, or whatever takes your fancy.
Everyone has their own vocabulary. Poet, I love your apricot.
Scriptwriter, I'm sure the neighbor is looking at us. Romantic, I could drown myself in you.
It doesn't matter what you say, as long as you're intoxicated.
We slept together, and he doesn't call.
The worst thing is wasting time wondering why he hasn't called. The more you try to understand, the greater your risk of spending weeks weeping over a guy you don't even know. Don't listen to your girlfriends who gently mislead you. He doesn't ring because he doesn't want to. That's all there is to it. Forget about him and consider the next encounter. Just because you spent the night together doesn't mean he's sworn undying love to you. Women may be liberated, but deep down we still believe that a night of sex equates to attaching a love lock to the Pont des Arts. No, no, no. To help you get over it, the most courageous thing you can do is delete his number, or at least change his name on your mobile so you're not tempted to call him, or personalize his ringtone so your heart doesn't start racing every time a girlfriend texts you.
Golden rule. Don't mess around with love. It's up to him to call, and not in 3 days' time.
In Paris, people are always waiting, for the metro, for a taxi, in a movie queue. Everyone has 30 seconds for a few words of love.
Parisian tip.
My night at the museum. He doesn't want to spend another night or more days with you? No matter. You have Rodin, Delacroix, Poussin, Géricault, and countless other men, all fascinating in other ways, awaiting you for a nocturnal session at the Louvre. If you're going to be a single woman, you may as well be a smart one. We recommend this instead of a wine-filled evening with a girlfriend, with its attendant risk of tears and a 4 a.m. phone call.
The mama cliché.
Men are big babies and you have to reassure them. Who says they need reassurance? Isn't it you reassuring yourself by calling him?
Don't put yourself inside someone else's head. It's complicated enough in your own.
He calls.
You are quietly doing some work in your bed, in front of a roaring log fire, when suddenly the name is displayed on your phone.
All at once you feel like Joan of Arc in proud horsewoman mode, on her gold steed outside the Louvre. Oh no, I won't answer. I'm not available at the drop of a hat. Hardly. Of course you answer, but not necessarily in a hurry. You adopt a kind, considerate, funny, and light-hearted tone, but you're not free to see him right away. You're sorry, but tonight you can't. You feel like staying at home for a sushi night with your favorite TV show because, even if it is not true, you were out at a swanky bar last night. But offer to meet him tomorrow night.
Where?
Neither somewhere with just the two of you, nor a formal date.
Golden rule.
Always let him be a step ahead. It's he who proposes, you who disposes. That way, you will always feel more confident and will be all the more seductive. If you are scared of harassing him like someone possessed, do a Javert, the bad guy in Les Misérables, who threw himself into the river, and throw your phone into the Seine. It will do you good, and it was time to change it anyway. For 2 days, you won't be contactable. He will have phoned 20 times, and you will be radiant.
Le secret d'une Parisienne.
Why doesn't he join you at the Rosa Bonheur bar, under the Alexandre III bridge, where you have planned to have an apéritif with friends? Or at the opening of a gallery, in the Marais, before going for a drink at the Georges Restaurant, on the top story of the Pompidou Center? What could be more romantic than reaching for a hand as you consider art together?
The 70s cliché.
We are equals, and a woman has the right to call.
Yes, of course, but why would she?
Do you know a single man, even the shyest, who won't take the first step when he's in love?
If he really hasn't spotted you, go for it and get out your phone. But realize that you are starting out with one fewer card in your hand and that you will need to protect yourself all the more afterward.
He sends dozens of texts, but we never meet up.
Something's fishy. Here is a man who gets fired up all on his own, who sends you texts that say things like, I'm going crazy thinking about you, or are you dressed right now? Or I can't take this desire anymore, I'm going for a jog. But who never suggests meeting, or when you do make plans, cancels all the time. His texts are like Facebook likes. They are just distractions to help him pass the time. Worse, this may be a cover-up for the fact that he's got too many commitments to take it any further. Or a wife. So beware. A real man knows what he wants, and hopefully it's you. If he's not making time to see you, let him go. Golden rule. You may exchange millions of Tinder messages or texts on trivial subjects, but you quickly meet up. Do not measure his attachment by the number of his messages, but rather by his actions. A guy who is really smitten will make the effort to see you in person. And so, poetic digital communications be damned. You have to become almost mathematical. 15 texts equals one meeting. Otherwise, it's not worth it. Surprise! He's returning to Buenos Aires tomorrow.
He's leaving. He only had a tourist visa. He must return to take care of the family tango club. In short, your love is literally flying away. Should you cry? Yes, of course. Believe it will last, despite everything? Don't tell yourself it doesn't matter. I'll go and see him. Long-distance love doesn't work. What is certain is that before he leaves, you will have to live as though you are in a film. I love yous on tourist riverboats, ardent kisses on the steps of Montmartre, rolling in the grass near the rose gardens in Bagatelle, spending the night in a suite at the luxurious Hotel Raphael. In short, your very own remake of An American in Paris. An affair is not less good because it is short rather than long. If it's short, it is all the more memorable.
Golden rule. When it's a short-lived affair, throw caution to the wind. That contradicts other rules? Not at all. Strategy is a matter not of caution, but of intelligence. Go for it. It will be a wonderful memory, and you'll be even more radiant as you walk down the street thinking of the love letters you are going to exchange with someone in Argentina, or of that torrid night during which he muttered funny words in Spanish. The first drink. Do I treat it like a job interview? Of course you'll lie. He will too. That first cocktail bar is your very own film studio, with each of you playing a role. Myself, in a slightly better version. His anecdotes, his frequent laughter, and his enthusiasm are designed to impress. But be careful not to embellish yourself too much. Don't list your qualities, assets, activities, and prestigious exes. You're not for sale. As La Rochefoucauld said, we gain more by allowing ourselves to be seen as we are than by trying to seem what we are not. So what do you talk about?
About everything and nothing. On such evenings, words are merely appetizers, at least on the surface.
What about putting out feelers to discover his tastes and express yours? For example, your favorite city to escape to on impulse for a weekend. What he thinks of your mutual friends, what he says about others says a lot about him. And then, there's always good old Parisian debates. Does the left bank, right bank rivalry still exist? You couldn't care less, but you discuss anyway. The important thing is what lies behind the conversation and the good vibes you are very gently exchanging.
Golden rule.
Don't give your resume. And if your stomach is still in knots after all this advice, repeat to yourself 10 times on the way there that this man must say about you, I'm crazy about her. She's made for me. Don't get hung up on which is your most attractive profile. It might be your liking for Camembert at breakfast that has him falling at your feet.
Parisian playlist. Songs to listen to on the way to your first drink together. Mon manège et moi, Etienne Dehaux.
Something About Us, Daft Punk.
Intoxicated, Martin Solveig.
When Love Takes Over, David Guetta.
Donnez pour donner,
F. Gall and E. John.
Zou bisou bisou,
Gillian Hills.
La Fivre,
NTM.
Moi volatoire,
Françoise Hardy.
Lady,
Mojo. Une Femme Like You,
Kay Morrow. Amoureuse, Véronique Sanson.
Sea, Sex and Sun, Serge Gainsbourg. La Vie en Rose, Grace Jones.
Sensualité,
Axel Red.
Déshabillé Moir, Juliette Gréco.
Vertige de l'amour, Bachang.
A bouche que veux-tu,
Brigitte.
Dreams are my reality,
Richard Sanderson.
Une autre histoire, Gérard Blanc.
J'attends l'amour,
Jennifer.
I drank too much and blurted everything out.
The stress, the knot in your stomach, the urge to get drunk straight away so you'll forget you've put the wrong shirt on, feeling overwhelmed and helpless at the way he looks at you, the wanting to be in his arms without further ado, and the anxiety about whether he will kiss you. You had agreed to meet at 7 p.m. in order to be able to escape with the pretext of a dinner party if it turned out to be a disaster. It wasn't. It's now midnight, and all you've swallowed is 3 peanuts, a tiny slice of Comté cheese, and an entire bottle of Poulet Fissé wine. You go home tipsy, regretting having shared that you are down to your last dime, that you were completely depressed 2 days ago, or even that you've bought a Japanese toilet for its divine heated seat. If possible, it is best to avoid unloading old neuroses, sad stories, and lastly, red wine. Blue lips minimize your recall abilities. But other than that, trust yourself. What could be worse than trying to be in control when it comes to love? You are alive, sensitive, carried away, all the better. Remain enthusiastic without being scared of silences. He will fill them, or of laughter for no reason. Such elation is flattering. In principle, he should be in the same state. You have the right to spend a pleasant moment in delightful company. Both of you are there to give a little tenderness. Repeat to yourself that phrase of Pope Jean-Paul II, champion of love. Be not afraid. Golden rule. If you've unpacked your exes and your parents' divorce, above all, don't try to apologize for it. No, nothing at all. No, I regret nothing, sang Edith Piaf.
And the same goes for you. Strictly forbidden is, I'll call him to say I'm sorry. You have nothing to apologize for. You're wonderful. Is that clear?
Parisian tip.
The ham sandwich trick. You're going for a drink tonight, but you're scared you'll down a whole bottle. You're so stressed. Quick, run to the bakery to get a ham sandwich. You will be full, and your stomach, that famous second brain, will send you signals of happiness and stop you from making a fool of yourself. If you are gluten intolerant, swallow a boiled egg.
First dinner at your place. Store-bought sushi or a good home-cooked meal.
Ooh la la! Above all, don't start getting overambitious. You are not a world-famous chef, and it's not the time to go hunting through those recipe books you've never even opened.
You remain simple, like your look, low-key. It goes without saying that you only agree to him coming to your place if he has already invited you out to dinner. Now you have opted for a quiet evening at home. Okay, but how?
With a good Italian pasta, or a good plate of seafood. A female foodie licking her fingers after devouring a fresh oyster is sexy. In short, you go to your upscale local grocer, and tonight you will be nibbling a man and crackers. Above all, nothing that smacks of fine dining. Do we need to remind you that he has not come for dinner?
Golden rule. Involve him.
Tell him to bring what he wants. Choose together. Transform that, my God, I've got to make dinner, into an enthusiastic, we're doing something together. and be sure not to set the table before he arrives. If you do, how will you be able to make love on it right away?
The Versailles cliché.